I'd like to read to you this morning one of Master's very beautiful writings entitled The Mirror of Silence. When you find that your soul, your heart, every wisp of inspiration, every speck of the vast blue sky, every shining blossom of the sky, the mountains, the earth, the whippoorwill, and the bluebells are all tied with one chord of rhythm, one chord of joy, one chord of unity, and one chord of spirit, then you know that nothing exists but the waves of his cosmic sea. I feel him like a gentle breath of bliss, breathing in my body of universes. I perceive him shining through the bright twinkles of all luminosity and through the waves of cosmic consciousness. I behold him as the light of solar inspiration, holding the luminaries of my thoughts in the rhythm of balance. Like a silent, invisible river flowing beneath the sands, flows the vast, dimensionless river of spirit through the sands of time, through the sands of experience, through the sands of all souls, through the sands of all living atoms, and through the sands of all space. I feel him as a bursting voice, leading, guiding, teaching secretly in the soul temple of all men and things in creation. He is the fountain of wisdom and radiant inspiration flowing through all souls. He is the fragrance oozing from the incense base of all hearts. He is a garden of celestial blossoms and bright thought flowers. He is the love which inspired our love dreams. I feel him percolating through my heart, as through all hearts, through the pores of the earth, through the sky, and through all created things. He is the eternal motion of joy. He is the mirror of silence in which all creation is reflected. Our chapter from the Bible this morning is chapter 10, beginning with verse 1 from St. John. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go out and in and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. And as the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. The subject I have chosen this morning is Follow the Good Shepherd. This is a tremendous chapter. It is the mind itself that keeps us from realizing our oneness with God. It is the veil between us and the infinite. Everything goes into the mind by way of the senses. And the mind is like a monkey. It is constantly hopping from one tree to another in an effort to see if the fruit on that tree is better than the one in which it is just, the one that it has just left. As I have told you before, Swami Ramdas many times told me this story and told it to others too about the baby monkey who clings to the around the neck of its mother as she jumps from tree to tree. But because the mother is not holding the child many times falls and is either hurt or it is killed. But not so the baby kitten, he said. The baby kitten just sits right where it is and cries as loudly as it can for the mother until the mother comes and takes it to safety. And I remember he was telling me this story personally one time, and he said, "Mother, be like the baby kitten." He said, "Just cry for the mother until she comes to you." Now, many there are who worship God in the form of the mother, because the mother is said to be closer than the father. The mother is the womb of all creation. She represents nature, God in nature. And before you can reach the ultimate, you have to break the hold of everything of form and go beyond form into that infinite light, which is God. Everything is God, there is no doubt, because everything came from Him. And except by Him, nothing was created. We are told about delusion constantly. We are told that this world is delusion by the master, many of the masters of the East. But it is not so. What is delusive is the idea of our separation from God. That is purely delusive, because God dwells within us. Now we are told that we cannot, or should not, I should say, go to God anyway, but by the way of this door. And Christ Himself says that He is the door. He is the infinite Spirit within us. And you will remember that He said that He laid down His life for His sheep, that He laid it down willingly. Nobody made Him do it. He had the power to lay it down, but He also had the power to take it up again. I can testify to that. Because of my own will, of my own volition, I laid down my life for God. But also, I took it up again. And the I, which says that it can do that, was no longer the little human ego, but rather it was the Christ in me who had that power, even as He has it in each and every one of you. There's a story told about a little boy by the name of Pablo. Pablo was a sheep herder, and each day he went out and tended a large flock of sheep for his Turkish neighbor, whose name was Effendi. It was very important that little Pablo keep his job, because his mother was a widow and she had very little with which to feed her family. So little Pablo was entrusted with this wonderful task, which was a very important one. So he was a very good little shepherd, very good. But one day, like all little boys, he was attracted by something that led him away from his duties. There was a large apple tree right near where he was keeping the sheep. And so he decided he would climb the apple tree and eat the apples from it. And everyone knows that the apples at the top of the tree are sweeter than those lower. So he climbed and climbed to the highest limb And he sat there and he ate apple after apple until he was filled to overflowing. But all of a sudden, as he finished eating the last apple, he happened to remember the goats, and he climbed down, or not the goats, but the sheep, and he climbed down as fast as his little legs would take him down that tree. There was not a sheep in sight, not one. He was panic-stricken. He ran here, he ran there, he went over hill, he went over dale, he searched everywhere. It so happened that Effendi had put a little bell on each one of the sheep, so that if the sheep strayed off, it could be found. But he didn't even hear a bell. It was getting dark. He became more frightened every moment. And he thought to himself, surely they must have gone home to the fold. I will go to Effendi's house and see if they have returned. Which he did. He thought to himself, if they came home, Effendi will be very angry with me. Effendi was indeed angry with him, but not because the sheep had returned home, but because they hadn't. And it was dark. He was very, very frightened. So Effendi dressed him down, as the saying goes, gave him a good scolding, and told him that he had to go out and find the sheep. And he said, at night? He said, but they will get me. He said, who will get you? Well, whatever is out there, he said. He said, do you not hear those jackals howling? And little Pablo said, yes, I do. He said, well, if you do not go out, they will get the sheep. Well, little Pablo thought to himself, yes, and if I do, they'll get me. But still, he knew that he had to do this. His mother came along and told him that she would go with him, but his little brother was ill, and therefore she could not do it. So she gave him a piece of dark bread and cheese, and she sent him on his way. Well, the night was very, very dark. The only light to light his way was a few stars in the heaven. He kept going and he kept calling, but not a tinkle of a bell did he hear. And he was getting more frightened by the moment. Finally, he was so tired out from searching everywhere that he sat down by a huge stone. And as he sat there, he tried to remember the prayer that his mother had told him to say before he left. And this prayer was, Our Father, which art in heaven. He couldn't think of the prayer. All of a sudden, as he sat there, he looked up in the sky and he saw the Big Dipper. And he said to himself, that is where Polaris, the North Star, resides. So, just as he was thinking this, he heard the tinkle of a bell. It seemed that one of the sheep had raised its leg to scratch itself, and the bell had tinkled. He was overjoyed. He rushed around the rock, and there was the whole flock of sheep, all of them sound asleep. So he awakened them all, and he started to lead them home. The sheep stood there for a few moments, trying to waken themselves up, and finally they followed him. And he thought to himself, but how will I get home? It's so dark. I don't know which way to go. I know that my village is north, but where is north? All of a sudden again, he remembered that he'd been thinking about Polaris, the North Star. He looked up in the heavens, and there it was. He was very, very joyful. And he said, I shall follow the North Star because it never moves. And the North Star will lead me home. And so he did. So when he finally got the sheep safely home, he knelt down, and all of a sudden the prayer came to him. My Father which art in heaven. And then at the end of it, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. And he said, thank you, Father, for having led me by the North Star. Now, each of us have that star within ourselves. Only we call it the Star of the East. It is in the center of the forehead. It is the spiritual eye. That star will lead us into the kingdom of our Heavenly Father. And we are told that that kingdom is within. But we cannot go without the shepherd. And there's one thing that you must remember. You cannot serve two masters. For either you will hate the one and love the other, or you cannot serve God and mammon too. It just doesn't work. You must put your attention on God in the one guru, the one master, in order that that one may lead you to the master within yourself. Now, we are told in the scriptures that there are goats as well as sheep. And if the sheep are within us, so also are the goats. What are the goats? The goats are the thoughts which take us away from our consciousness of oneness with God. We must remember always to keep our attention upon Him. And following that star within ourselves is one way. But as I say, the mind constantly comes in and it tricks us. It is constantly looking for new ways of entertainment. And if it does not find what it wants, then it goes here, it goes there, it goes to this one, it goes to that one. And such a one will never get God realization. You must look for that star within yourself. You must look for the light of your own soul. What will help you to do that? The name of God, that enchanting name, that enchanting music, which one day, if you keep repeating the name of God, which is Om, you will find within yourself, and that melody will be so overpoweringly beautiful that it will drown out all of the clamor of the thoughts that the mind is constantly engendering in order to keep your attention away from God. Why does the mind do this? It does it because the ego, the human ego, is in full residency. It doesn't want to leave, not in the slightest. And it will use every trick in the book to get your attention away from your goal, which is your oneness with God. I can look back over all of the days of my life since my childhood, and there are many days in that lifetime now, as I'm sure each and every one of you can look over your lives and watch the way that you have come. Can you remember when you were a little child and the different things that came into your consciousness? How you hung on to your mother in the beginning, and that if your mother went away from you or was absent for a moment when you wanted her, that you cried and you felt desolate. But as you grew older, your world took on new dimensions, and gradually your attention became fixed upon your friends, upon the things that you did, your play, and gradually then upon the various things that you were interested in the world. All of these things happened, and you no longer thought so much of being dependent upon your mother. And this is what the world does to us, as it takes us away from our dependence upon God, upon our consciousness of Him. We have had enough things happen in this group that have truly been miracles, miracles. We see it happening all the time. Somebody will say, "Will you pray for somebody?" We pray for them. We hear that they are better. We hear that their lives have been saved. To God, all things are possible. But you have to follow this good shepherd. You have to follow Him. You cannot follow that other one which leads you into worldly consciousness. There is only one way to go, and that is the straight and narrow path. And everyone who goes any other way, it is said, is a thief and a robber. Everyone is trying to get to God the easy way. Everyone who comes wants you to touch up, reach out and touch them on the shoulder with a magic wand and say, "I give you God realization." But God realization doesn't come that easy. Every now and then you are lifted up into a tremendous experience of light, and you are filled with the ecstasy and bliss of God's presence if you are truly on the path and making the effort. But it isn't those moments that will take you to God. It is the everyday humdrum life, the doing of the things that you should, minute by minute, with the consciousness fully upon God, that will actually take you there. It isn't an easy road. It isn't a road that you can accomplish covering in just a moment. You have to go into the castle of God's infinite presence. But the way to do it, the easy way to do it, is to take your mind off of everything else and put your mind upon Him alone, God alone. And then the way will become easier. Because as you keep your consciousness upon Him, even as you stumble, if you stumble, as you climb the hill, you will find His hand there ready to save you, or if you fall, to pick you up and guide you. There is never a moment, no matter what you have done, when you cannot turn your face to God and get from Him an answer. Get from Him His loving care. If we could only realize that, that His is the only love in the world. We look for that love every place else. And always we are hungry. We are reaching out. We cannot find it. It is not given. It is not given. And you can feel when it isn't given. And the secret of the whole thing is to ask for nothing for yourself. To give love without asking for love in return. And if you do that, it will return to you a millionfold. Practice seeing God in the form of the one that you love. Love God in that form. Love that one unstintingly. Do everything you can to serve God in that form. And gradually, from just narrowing it down to love for God in that one form, you will start to practice loving God in every form, seeing God in every form. And as you practice this, all of a sudden this tremendous thing happens where you are at one with Him. You see nothing but yourself everywhere. And you realize, I am. It is a state of being. It is a state of consciousness. And only the Christ, by whatever name you want to call Him, can take you there. Because indeed He is the Good Shepherd. He is the only one who can lead us. Now this Shepherd comes in the beginning as the Son of Man. But still He is the infinite Spirit. He is that still small voice that comes as your conscience. And you know the difference when you have done wrong instead of right, believe me. But He comes and He guides you and He directs you through all of the human ways of life and of living, through all the states of worldly consciousness, until finally He leads you, this human ego, to the point where you have suffered sufficiently, where your heart has changed sufficiently, your consciousness has changed sufficiently, that you want to give yourself and all you possess and throw yourself at His feet. Your love for Him becomes so great, your yearning is so great, that you want to die for Him. If He demands that, and He does, because you must die in order that you might live, in order that you realize that it is God Himself who is in this form, and that you are He. It is a difficult experience, but He lays down His life gladly at that time, in order that all of the sheep, that is all of the good tendencies, the good people of your kingdom. Because for every thought, word, and action, you create a part of your kingdom. You people it. You make cities. You make nations. You invent tribes. You have the whole world inside of yourself, just as you see it outside. And whatever your world is inside, so will the world be outside. But your particular world outside. Because as ye give, so shall ye receive. So whatever you send forth from yourself, that you shall receive in return. So if you give of yourself and everything you have in service to God, this is what comes to you. I've told you over and over again that my whole life has been testimony to that, because I was born in utter poverty for years. You know that it's only been, say, about 10 years of my life that I've had anything that anybody could call reasonable luxury. Now, it wouldn't be luxury for some people, but for me it is the utmost in luxury, because I have had to scrounge for everything I ever got. There was many the time when I didn't know if I was going to have one meal a day, and many the months and the years that I went with one dress, one hat, one coat, one pair of shoes, and those were all hand-me-downs. But these were the wonderful years of my life. Why? Because they brought me closer to God. I got a new set of values. And I realized one day that God wasn't giving me what I had asked for in the way that I had asked for it, but he was taking care of every need. And the reason he was doing it in that way was to take away my pride, was to take away any shred of vanity I might have, and to humble me to the dust, to make me grateful for every crumb he gave me, and to make me aware that no matter in how difficult a position I was in, still he was there. He knew every need even before I did. Today he is doing the same thing for me. Every need that I have, he is taking care of. I have to have surgery, as I have told you, within a couple of weeks. It isn't covered by insurance, and yet, through his blessed ones, those who love him and serve him, he is taking care of it bit by bit, step by step. And I sit there and I look at the miracle of it and the love of those who give to me, and my eyes fill with tears, as they are now, at his great goodness to me. You think that he does this for me alone. He will do it for you too, and he does every moment. There is only one thing required of you, and that is that you give all of yourself to him, that your consciousness is upon him as a soul doer, as a soul giver, as a soul receiver in this whole universe. Whenever anyone pays me a compliment or said, well, this was a good sermon, or anything about it, immediately I go inside and I give it to him. Because if there's one thing I know, it is that I of myself am nothing. It is my Father who doeth the works. No way can any one of us even lift a finger. We can't move nor breathe nor have our being without that infinite presence within us. He is indeed our good shepherd, and he looks after his sheep. And he says that he has other sheep also, and some that don't belong to him, and that all must come back to him. All of it. Well, this stands to reason, doesn't it? Because if all of this is God, it was his creation, it is his life, every moment of everything that we see in this world is God living his life, then indeed all must go back to him. But this mind, which when it is not the cosmic mind of God, the mind in the spirit, takes us away from the consciousness of our oneness with him. Every moment we should have our attention fixed upon him. Every morning we should wake up with his name upon our lips, the consciousness of his presence with us, and pray to him, Father, be with me every moment throughout this day. Now he is anyway, but put it into your consciousness and visualize God walking by your side, or God residing in your heart and living on the altar of your consciousness, until your mind is so saturated with the thought of God that it can't think of anything else but him. It doesn't stop it from doing its work, but rather it enhances your ability to do your job that much better than you ever did before, because he is there. He is the doer. If you must have the idea of separation, then know that he does it through you and for you in every way. But the day will come when you find that conscious union with him, when you will be lifted up, and it will not be a sometime thing. It will be a steady flow, a steady pipeline from the Christ consciousness, which comes from God, the Father, the Absolute. And it will flow through every part of your being, every moment of your life. It will flow out and it will return to you. There is no doubt about it. This happens. I know. I promise you that if you will only listen to the things that I teach you, if you will make the effort, if you will put God first above everything else, mostly above yourself, your own desires, your own wishes, that you will find a heaven on earth. You will find that heaven through Christ, the Good Shepherd, and he is within you. He is your very self.